This is Rick Malone for the San Francisco Symphony. It's actually a wonder that Sergei Rachmaninoff's Second Symphony even exists, much less that it may be the most popular symphony written in the 20th century. The premiere of his Symphony No. 1 in 1897 was under-rehearsed and horribly conducted by a visibly drunk Alexander Glazunov. It was such a disaster that it took 3 years of psychotherapy and hypnosis before Rachmaninoff could once again face writing a large-scale composition. Therapy helped him through the composition of his Piano Concerto No. 2, and its instant success gave him the confidence to compose again. But even so, the notion of symphony still made him shudder. After he finished his Symphony No. 2, he swore that he would never write another, and it was almost 30 years before he changed his mind and wrote his third. By October 1906, Rachmaninoff was arguably the most famous musician in the world. He was already the successful composer of 2 piano concertos, 3 operas, chamber music, works for solo piano, and several dozen important songs. He was an admired conductor and recognized as one of the great pianists of his and, in fact, any time. But, like all composers who have busy careers as performers, Rachmaninoff found himself longing for time just to write. So, he moved his family out of Russia, away from the social unrest that would soon become a revolution, and settled in Dresden, Germany, for some peace and quiet. Rachmaninoff had developed 2 distinct styles as a composer. In his shorter piano works, he had developed an impressive skill at composing a highly economical sort of music, saying a lot in a very short period of time. But in his symphonies and concertos, he preferred, at least at this point in his development, a more expansive manner, spinning out long melodies, developing short rhythmic cells across the breadth of the orchestra, and finding ways to stretch dramatic tension almost to the breaking point before a resolution. One of the results of this expansiveness is that this symphony in particular has often been brutally edited by conductors, sometimes cutting out as much as a third of its length. But oh, how much they miss. Rachmaninoff's Symphony No. 2 begins in mystery, with low strings barely audible. What the cellos and basses are playing here is a pattern that turns out to have a large role in the symphony, sometimes on the surface, sometimes beneath it. The winds enter with a variation on the opening pattern, the violins respond, and the texture becomes more tightly woven, with each section entering in imitation, one right after the other, working their way up to an intense climax, which then falls away rapidly. The first theme, introduced by the first violins, is yet another variation of the introduction. But now, stated with urgency and forward movement. The symphony has been introduced in E minor, but here it quickly accelerates to its relative major key, G. One of Rachmaninoff's signatures is a descending melodic passage, and here it brings the exposition to a quiet close. A violin solo recalls the introduction like a wisp of memory. After a pause to reflect, the music pushes forward again. Rachmaninoff delays the return to the tonic key of E, drawing out the tension before beginning the recapitulation. Rachmaninoff studied with Tchaikovsky, the master of suspense, and clearly learned his lessons well. As the bass begins to rise again, a great crescendo begins. We hear some triumphant fanfares, but they're just a distraction as the tension continues to build. Through the storm, we can make out fragments of the opening theme. At last, the long, dominant pedal tone, which has been holding steady in the bass on B, is resolved to E, the keynote. Rachmaninoff has brought us home, and the recapitulation has begun. And once home, he moves swiftly into a powerful coda. The second movement, the scherzo, is an energetic tour de force for the entire orchestra. The key is A minor, and the reason the opening rings the way it does is that the violins play their rapid figures using their open A and E strings. No fingers to stop the strings from vibrating, even a little. Scherzo means joke in Italian, but even in this musical joke, Rachmaninoff gives us one of the big tunes he was so famous for. The main theme returns and then slowly disintegrates. As Haydn supposedly said of a similar moment in his surprise symphony, this will make the ladies jump. The second violins launch into a brilliant fugue. The scherzo theme returns, and in the coda, Rachmaninoff quotes one of his own musical obsessions, the Dies Irae, Day of Wrath, from the Gregorian Mass for the Dead. The Adagio is full of big tunes, including the opening, which found its way onto the pop charts in 1976 as Eric Carmen's Never Gonna Fall in Love Again. That one is the phrase people usually come out singing after this symphony, but it's really just the introduction. The main idea of the movement is introduced by the clarinet. In a long, winding, and beautiful melody that never strays too far from its center. It is, among other things, a reminder of Rachmaninoff's amazing gift for songwriting. But even when the clarinet stops, the melody lingers on, and the violins carry it still further. Rachmaninoff ends this section with the great yearning phrase that began the movement, and then the violins go back even further with their phrase from the opening of the first movement, though it is now more than twice as fast. Eventually, the entire orchestra gets a chance to explore it. Again, Rachmaninoff brings in one of his gradually descending bass lines. Which leads to a grand arrival in C major. Suddenly, everything falls silent. And then... the The solo horn begins a beautiful and mysterious melody which gets passed around the orchestra. Eventually, it turns into a transition to the return of the great melody that the clarinet played at the beginning of the movement, now in the violins. And from here, the adagio sinks into a spacious and quiet close. The high-energy finale is back in the home key of E, but now it's E major. The first contrasting theme is a quiet but conspiratorial march. But it's just an interlude. The opening music returns, leading to another one of Rachmaninoff's big tunes. Rachmaninoff is setting up a rondo, with the opening phrase as the refrain. The next interlude is a surprise, a quick return of the opening phrase of the slow movement. Then the high-speed movement resumes. This time it's the development section, with an amazing passage that builds from a few simple descending scales. Slow and fast, high and low, syncopated and straightforward, they generate such a swirl of sound that all the bells in Russia seem to be ringing. Heading for the coda with a return of the big tune. And a headlong rush to the close, capped by Rachmaninoff's signature closing cadence. Everything that made Rachmaninoff a great composer is in this symphony. The big tunes, the dazzling orchestration, the intricate but inevitable construction that lets us recognize the plot points and say, ah, that's where he was going with that, and gives us such a feeling of satisfaction at the end. Quite a feat for a composer who had sworn just a few years earlier that such a thing would never happen. This is Rick Malone for the San Francisco Symphony.